Good morning. Guys, you doing good? All right, awesome. So I know I talked to some of you guys and really got to know some people. Some people know my testimony about coming here, some people don't. So I want to take a few seconds and just share that testimony with you. And that's not the message, but it leads into the message. And pretty much from Tampa, Florida. Come from a Pentecostal church background. How many people are familiar with the Pentecostal church? All right, awesome. So I don't have to explain to you too much about them. But with the Pentecostal church, it led me to come up here and be a youth pastor and outreach pastor of another church. And, you know, just being there and being trained one way, it's easy for your mind to shut everything else out. At all, well, this is the way I was trained, this is the way that it is, and no one could really tell me anything or tell me otherwise, thought I knew everything. Young kid, 23 years old, straight out of Bible college, moved to a new city to be a pastor, thinking I knew everything because I spent 3 years in Bible school. And had a rude awakening one day when I started seeing certain Bible passages, because Bible school, we stick to, you know, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, and the Gospels and the epistles of Paul. And we didn't really get too much into like Jude and 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, where it actually talked about walking in love and carrying out the commandments of Jesus. And if you don't, then you're in trouble. And it caused me to really question a lot of things. And, you know, I'm here from a Google search. I got really into this one guy on YouTube and really started listening to him, and he came from Jehovah's Witness. So he went from Jehovah's Witness all the way to Anabaptist. And that was the journey, and went from Jehovah's Witness to Southern Baptist, and then ended up into the Anabaptist because everything that he kept reading, he went back to the first century church and read all the writings of the early church fathers, and the only church he could find that was as close to the original church was the Anabaptist church, where they took not doctrines, not teachings of you got to do this, this, and this, and this, but, you know, Jesus said this, keep it simple and just follow him and you'll do good. And it caused me to Google Anabaptist churches in Buffalo and ended up here. So if you guys are wondering how I ended up here, it was because of that. And through that guy, his name is, I can't even think of his name now. But he pointed me to another guy, which is a college professor named Dean Taylor. Is anyone in here familiar with Dean Taylor? He's an Anabaptist college professor. And he was in the Army, and this was back when the Berlin Wall was up. So he guarded the wall, and he was there when the wall came down and everything, and just him and his wife being in Germany and guarding the wall, it ended up causing him to have a lot of time to read. So as he began to read and more, he's like, I can't find a justification for me being in war, being in the army through the Bible. And that caused him to ask himself the very question I'm going to ask us to start what I'm going to talk about today is, what if Jesus meant every word he said? So what if Jesus really meant what he said? What if he really meant everything? Would you be in trouble or would you be in good standing? That's where my life journey began a year ago. Even though I went through Bible school, even though I went through being a pastor for almost 2 years, I had to start over. I was following certain things I was taught, but wasn't following Jesus. So I started over with this very question of, what if Jesus meant what he really said? So how many people in here, I'm going to ask you this next question, and just show of hands, how many people here would say they're a disciple of Jesus? How many people would say that? All right, awesome. So what is a disciple? That's the question. What is a disciple? What does a disciple look like? We all say we're a disciple, but what does a disciple really look like? A disciple is one that follows Jesus. A disciple is one that looks like Jesus. When people hang around you, can they see Jesus? When people talk to you, can they hear Jesus? That's where I really started asking myself these questions. And to a lot of these questions, my answer at the time was no. I just cried. I wept. I was disappointed with my life. So if you guys want to turn with me to John 8:31-32. I know he has it. I don't know if it's up there. It's coming. All right. Give you guys a minute to turn there. John 8:31-32. All right, so let's read this together. You guys can read out loud with me because I want you guys to hear it, say it. It becomes more real when you say it yourself. I want us to read it together. So, to the Jew who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. So there it shows us right there. It says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. So how many people, let me ask this again. How many people hold to all of Jesus' teachings? There's a lot less hands. That's what it was in my life. It's not to discourage you, but it's to encourage you. So there might be some areas of my life that I have to put the boots on and go walk in the mud. So a disciple is one that follows Jesus, not in some things, but in all things. Not just the things that we like, not just the things that agree with our lifestyle. How many people know if it agrees with your lifestyle, it's easy to walk it out, right? But if it disagrees, if it causes you to, I got to make a turnaround, I got to make a change, I got to fix something, then guess what? It's a lot harder to apply that to your life. Am I right? How many people know it's sometimes it's easier to go to work and fix other people's houses? I'm in the construction business with carpentry and stuff like that. It's a lot easier to go fix other people's houses when I'm getting paid for it. But then when it's time to fix my house, sometimes I'm like, man, I can do that next weekend. I'm going to rest this weekend. Can anyone relate? Just be honest. Exactly. And there's hard things that Jesus tells us to do. You know, one of the hard things that Jesus tells us to do is bless those that curse you. How many people know it's hard to bless someone that says something about you? It's hard to bless someone that causes people to question your character. Someone says something falsely to you or rudely to you, and then in return, you're supposed to bless them. Like, how many people would agree that's hard, right? It's hard sometimes. But that's something that we are told to do. In Luke 6, it's Luke 6:28. I'm going to read it real quick. It says, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." So that's the next thing is, pray for your enemy. So those are two really hard things that are sometimes hard to comprehend is, how do I bless someone that curses me? How do I pray for someone that mistreats me? Sometimes we want to think about ourselves and, well, I'm not going to pray for that person. I'll pray that they'll change. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying pray for them. That means pray for their well-being. Pray that they will come to know Jesus. Pray that they will have an understanding, a change of heart. Pray that God will bless them, and in that blessing, it will cause them to turn to Jesus. That's what that's talking about. One of the other hard things that is really hard is come out from among the world. Now, that's hard for some people. It's not talking about separating yourself from society, but it's talking about don't do what they do. Don't talk like they talk. Don't have fellowship in their evil deeds. Don't condone what they're doing or make excuses for what they're doing. Oh, they were born that way. Or, oh, they're always going to be that way. No. Come out from among them And coming out from among them sometimes means that we have to tell them, you know, I don't agree with that. I know you're that way right now, but I don't agree with that. And I appreciate if you don't bring that to me or my family or talk to my kids or push that on them. Sometimes we have to put that foot down, and that's how we separate. We come out from the world. And the next thing, I'm just going through a short list real quick. Now, this is one that would be hard for my wife and hard for me and hard for a lot of people. Wash each other's feet. Like, do you know that's what Jesus actually told us to do? He said that I did this, now I want you to do this to each other, right? Wash each other's feet. That shows humbleness. That shows that I'm no better than you. You know, it's different now because we wear shoes, socks. But back then, they walked in the desert with sandals on. How many people been to the beach, right? Your feet get sandy, dirty. When you take all that stuff with you home, and that's how it was with them. The washing the feet was the lowest of the low a servant could ever do, was wash someone's feet in that time. So when we wash each other's feet, we're actually humbling ourselves and lowering ourselves and saying, you know, this person means more to me than I mean to myself. This person means so much to Jesus that I'm going to show them how much they actually mean to Jesus and wash their feet. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like feet. They're not sometimes the friendliest things. I don't care. I'm going to say this. You guys can laugh at it if you want to, but I don't care how much nail polish you put on. That thing still is not the best looking thing to me. Just saying. So following Jesus shows that we love him. He said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And how many people know that everything he commanded us to do comes with a blessing? It comes with something that was attached to it. Just like honor your father and mother. He said, well, honor your father and mother so that it will go well with you. He said, do unto others you want them to do unto you. And in doing so, God's going to take care of you. How many people know that? As you obey God, as you follow Jesus, God will do the rest. He'll take care of you, where you ain't got to worry about your life. You don't have to worry about anything because you're following him. That's good news. I don't know about you guys. John 14, 15, if you guys want to turn there with me. John 14, I'm going to read 15, John 14, 15. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now jump down to verse 23 and 24. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So here it lets us know that if we love Jesus, we're going to obey him. If we don't love Jesus, we're not going to obey him. So our love for God is not just something we say, but it's something that we show. Just like if I tell my wife I love her, but then I'm doing everything contrary to what I say, then do I really love her? It's the same with God. That's what I love about God, is he takes everything in the natural and you can apply it to him. Everything. Stewardship, love, obedience, walking with him. You can apply it right back to him. So that as we follow him, we'll experience God's blessing. And that's in Luke 11, 28. You don't have to turn there with me if you don't want to. Luke 11, 28. I have a lot of scriptures for you. I love scriptures. The reason I love scriptures is because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's, God showed me one day as I was reading that I can't have faith to stand on if it's not applied in the scriptures. There's nothing I can stand on if it's not applied in his word. If I'm not standing on God's word, then I'm standing on something someone else said or something that I thought. Exactly. So 11:28 says, but he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe them. Some translation says, and does them. So here it says, blessed are those who hear God's word and put them into practice. So if I put God's word into practice, then guess what? I'm going to be blessed. Why was Abraham blessed? He heard God's word and he went. Again, he heard God's word about his son, took his son up on the mountain. Every person in Hebrews 11, where it talks about them being in faith, God told them to do something, and something was going to happen if they did something, and they did it, and that thing happened. That thing only happened because they heard God's word and put it into practice. A true disciple is not one that picks and chooses. You guys ever met someone that picks and chooses scriptures that they like to stand on? Or they say, well, you know, that doesn't really apply to us today. It doesn't apply to our society. We grew out of that. They were living in a different time, a different generation back then. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but my Bible says that Jesus is the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, forever. Right? He's non-changing. So that means that the Word of God is non-changing. Come with me to James 1. James is a book that has changed my life. Not my favorite book, but it's changed my life. My favorite book would be 1 Peter. If you ever read 1 Peter, I challenge you to just take it this week and read 1 Peter all the way through, and it will change a lot of way that you think. I know it's done that to me, but James 1:22. James 1:22. There we go. Sorry, pages sticking together. There we go. It said, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his face, natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at self and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of man he is. So here, saying that anyone that is not a doer, but just a hearer. So if we just stick to just hearing God's word and not applying it, not putting the footsteps to it, not applying it to our life, practicing it, it says that whereas a man that looks into a mirror and just walks away, forgetting about everything he just saw, his hair could have been messy, he could have had something on his face, but he totally just walked away, forgot about it, he didn't examine himself in the mirror to make any corrections that were needed to be made. It says, don't be deceived and just a hearer of God's word. Don't think of yourself as a disciple of Jesus and not a follower of Jesus. A lot of people I know that, you know, I meet them and talk to them, and some of them I'm friends with and went to Bible school with them, and, you know, they say, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 2002, and they leave it at that, and they're not really walking out what Jesus said. I have a friend that is, he went to, how many people know Bethel Bible College, right? Graduate from Bethel, graduate from the same Bible college I went to, has a master's in theology, and he's in church and everything, and he has a boyfriend. He says that scripture does not apply to today because our society is more acceptable today than they were back then. And that's a lot of what's going on now. And the reason they're allowing it to go on, and I'm going to say this because I saw this with my own life, the reason they're allowing it to go on and other certain things to go on is because the church isn't walking in what the Bible said. Church isn't walking and following Jesus. If we stand up, it won't be happening in the church. It's going to continue to happen in the world. We can't stop that. The Bible says it's going to happen. But it doesn't have to happen in the house of God. It doesn't have to happen in our fellowship. And we can help other people that are, you know, they're wanting to follow God and they're making Jesus their Savior, but they're caught up in that lifestyle. We can help them and point them in the right direction. But if we don't know what God's Word says, if we don't know where to point them, then how can we help them? And that's where it comes to apply it to our lives first, and then you can help someone else apply it to their life. So point two on this. Point one was, what is a disciple? Point two is more challenging because it's how to become a disciple. Luke 9:23, if you guys want to turn there with me. Luke 9:23. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Luke 9:23. So I'll read 23 and 24. Give you guys a minute to turn there. So verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. So here he said, if anyone wishes to follow after me, let him what? First thing there was deny himself. I'm going to go through and break all three of these down and help you to understand. This is how I got to do it with scriptures. I have to break it down. My mind will go in like a million different directions if I don't. So I had to break certain things down. And so first one, deny self. You know, denying self is simply just saying, you know, God, not my way, but your way. Not what I think, but what you think. Not how I think it should be done, but show me what to do and I'll do it. That's dying to self. Any other thing is, you're operating in self. How many people like simple things, right? Keep it simple. That's simply what dying to yourself is. And God, not my way, but your way. I tried it my way and it didn't work out. People know 25 years of my life, maybe even longer, probably 26, 27 years of my life. I'm only 28 now. Probably 26, 27 years of my life, I tried to do it my way even as a pastor and failed miserably. Why? Because I didn't take time to ask God, God, how do you want this to be done? God, what do you want me to apply? What do you want me to walk in? Show me the direction to go and I'll go. You know, God told Abraham to go and Abraham went in the direction God told him to go. That's all you need is just, God, show me where to go. God, show me what to say. And then just do it. Simple as that. Denying self is dying to yourself and living for God's will. So no longer for Matt's will, but now it's, I'm living for God's will. That's what denying yourself is you die to you. You can't live for God until you die for you. I couldn't live for God until I died for me. That's why I got baptized again. I got baptized as a kid. I got baptized when I was 20 years old, but had no understanding, no meaning. I didn't understand it. And because I didn't understand it and didn't really know what the Word of God said about it, I told Pastor Phil, I said, you know, I couldn't have put faith to it. I couldn't attach faith to it because I didn't know what the Word of God said. That's the same thing with our life. How can we know that God's a healer if we don't know what the Bible says about healing? How can we say that God's going to provide if we don't know what the Word of God says about God providing? How do we know that homosexuality is wrong if we don't know what the Bible says about it? How do we know lying or stealing or anything like that's wrong? That's even what Paul said that the law was good for. He said that the law showed me what was wrong and it pointed me to Christ. That's what the Bible does. It shows us what to walk in. Shows us what not to walk in. It points us to Jesus. That's why he said, if anyone desires to follow me, you have to get yourself out of the way first. That's what he was saying. James 1:14. If it's easier for you to write them down, just write them down. I got a lot of flipping around here. I told you I like scripture, so. So James 1 and verse 14. It says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So there it shows us that we only sin and we only do things because we're drawn away by what we want to do, by what we desire. So we die to ourselves, we get ourselves out of the way, we won't do that anymore. Repentance is just dying to yourself. It's, I thought one way, and now I'm changing my mind about that, and I'm going over here. You know, when I went to Bible school, I thought repentance was pretty much just stop doing something and turning to God. But I had no change of mind on it. I had no change of heart on it. When I studied the Greek word on repentance, it was a change of mind, change of heart, change of will. And God began to show me that, you know, it starts in your mind. You change your mind on it. If you change your mind on it, your heart will be changed on it. And I was sitting down and talking to someone recently and really broke down and showed them what repentance is and how God showed me. And you know, I changed the way I think about it, and I changed the way I feel about it. That's our heart, our mind, will, emotions. So I changed the way I thought about it, changed the way I felt about it. Now I'm going to change the way I live about it. That's repentance. You change your mind, will, and purpose in living. So number two, after we die to ourselves, is take up your cross. How many people here know what take up your cross really means? And I didn't know what it meant. And now I know exactly what it means. You know, the cross in Jesus' time was an instrument of death. Right? Instrument of death. Total humiliation, you're walking through a crowd carrying the very thing that you're going to be executed in front of everyone for. How many people would have, no, that'd be humiliating, right? I'm carrying the very thing that is about to kill me through a crowd of people that wanted me dead. That's humiliating, right? You know, that's a lot of what the Christian walk is. People don't agree with a lot of stuff we say, a lot of stuff we do. They don't understand it, so they don't agree with it. But what Jesus is referring to here is a commitment to him, even unto death. Obedience to a extreme measure and willingness to die in the pursuit of that obedience. Are you willing to die for what you believe in? Are you willing to get rocks thrown at you because you say homosexuality is wrong? You willing to be taken, your church being taken to court because of that? Are you willing for them to say things about you and question, do you really love them? Because you said something about it. Because you stood up for what the Bible said. Death on a cross was not pleasure, wasn't pleasant. It was painful and humiliating. The Implication is that even if obedience is painful and humiliating at times, we should be willing to endure it for Christ. How many people know obedience always isn't comfortable, right? God tells you, well, I want you to go apologize to that person. I want you to go apologize in front of everyone and make it right. I want you to go apologize to your wife. And you know, sometimes our first thought is, you know, God, I don't want to apologize to my wife. And you're going to prove a point that she's always right. That happens a lot. I have to humble myself and go tell her, and, you know, I responded the wrong way. I said the wrong thing. How many times, sometimes you have to go to your kids and tell them, you know, Dad was wrong. Mom was wrong. I'm sorry. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to do the opposite and correct them. Even though it's going to be hard for you, it's going to be painful. How many people know correcting your kids sometimes is painful, right? They get those little teary eyes. And I don't have kids, but I know I've seen it in my wife's cousins and stuff. I've seen it in their kids' eyes. And as soon as they know they're about to get in trouble, they run across the room. Their eyes start tearing up. And, no, Mommy. And, you know, sometimes that's painful. Like, man, I don't even want to correct them now. But if you don't correct them then it's going to be more painful for you throughout life. Because then correction, when you try to do it later on, isn't going to work as well. I learned that the hard way. Not with kids. I was the one that my grandparents were trying to correct, and I was stubborn and didn't want to listen. So before you take up your cross, you have to ask yourself, am I willing to die and suffer persecution for Jesus? How many people in here would honestly say that you're willing to die for Jesus? You're willing to stand on what you believe on, even unto death. That's what taking up your cross means. Jesus came for a purpose. And he said, I'm going to stand on this purpose, even if it's painful. It was so painful that the night before his execution, you know, the night that he got arrested, he went to the garden and cried. He said, God, if there's any other way, I'm going to put it in my own translation, just to make it simple so you guys understand it. God, if there's any other way, Show me a different way, and I'll do that. But you know, if this is something you want me to do, then I'll do it. It's pretty much what Jesus said. So if there's another way out, then show me that way. But if there's no other way, and this is the way that you want it done, even though it's painful, even though it's going to be humiliating, even though I know I'm going to suffer, I'll go through with it. Sometimes it's what the Christian walk is. Sometimes you got to tell friends, no, I can't go with you to the bar. I got to tell guys that at work. They're like, oh, we're going out to the bar and stuff like that. And it's like, I can't go. I'm like, oh, why can't you go? And so it's not what I believe in. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes it makes me feel like an outsider. Like, man, I have nothing in common with some guys at my job, but I know when I go home at night, I have confidence before God because I made the right decision. There's nothing like having confidence before God. He said, if you can't take up your cross, then you don't qualify to follow him. Because he said what? If anyone wishes to follow me, let him first, saying before you can even follow Jesus, before you can even apply what he told you to do, so that you have to do these first. So he said, deny yourself, take up your cross. Will we obey God even if we lose friends, family, jobs, or even your life? Hebrews 13, if you guys want to turn there with me. If you guys are still in James, just flip one page back in most Bibles and you're there. Hebrews 13 said, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So there, we take Jesus, and we take the disciples, and we take people that are parents, pastors, leaders. We can see their lives and imitate it. We can see their lives and apply that to our lives. And that's a good thing. So here it brings you to the last point. I'm going to be closing. It says, follow Christ and all he commanded. You know when Jesus said that if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and then what? Follow me. When he said that, and follow me, he didn't say, well, follow me in some things, but you don't have to follow me in certain things. He said, follow me. He meant all things. You guys can write down James 2, 8 through 24. James 2, 8 through 24. I'm just going to read it real quick. You don't have to turn there. It says, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbors as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now if you do commit adultery, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. For what use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their bodies, what use is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. I read all that just to say this one thing. Saying we have belief in Jesus and not following Him means nothing. It's what that scripture talks about. Just because I say I believe in Jesus and I don't apply His word to my life means absolutely nothing. You know, yes, believing in Jesus is the first start. But if it stops there, it means nothing. I'm going to go through other scriptures in a minute. But it says, true faith acts on God's word. John 14:15. Y'all know that. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Matthew 22:36-40. Just going through these real quick. Matthew 22, and I didn't write the book of Matthew. I'm glad someone found that funny. All right, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. If you walk in those two commandments, you know that you don't have to worry about anything the Bible ever says. If I love you as myself, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to cheat you. I'm not going to deceive you. Right? And if I do that, then the Bible says that I do well. Right? Exactly. Fulfills the whole law. Not part law, but the whole law. That's good news. It says when we put these scriptures... when we put these scriptures together, we what? We see that we are commanded to love God with all that we are, and in doing so, it proves our love for God, and it causes us to walk in love towards others. That last one I'm going to read real quick. 1 John 5. I told you I love scriptures. 1 John 5. And it is verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. So it's saying that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So as I keep God's commandments, this is going to cause me to walk in love. That's good. Some people are... how many people in here would say you have trouble walking in love at times, right? I know I do. But as I keep God's commandments, then guess what? It becomes easier to walk in love. As I'm following after Jesus, it becomes easier and easier and easier and easier. How many people know anything about trimming and stuff? I know Kevin does. How many people in here know anything about trim work, carpentry, anything, building? Was it easy at first? No, right? As you kept doing it, what happened? Came easier, right? And now you just do it. It's like it's easy now. Something I do. You can teach others to do it. But when you first started out, I don't know about you guys, but when I first started out, I couldn't teach no one nothing. I couldn't show them all, this is how you do it. But now that I've done it for a little bit, I can show people certain things. I can't show them everything, but I can show them certain things. It's the same thing with God's word. As we apply His word, obey His commandments, guess what? It becomes easier. The love of God becomes in us more. That's what it says. It says the love of God is in keeping His commandments. Now I'm going to just read these quick. This is the end. There are many things we are told to do. You guys can write down these scriptures that I give, because there's probably a good 20 scriptures here. You guys can write them down as I say them. I'm not going to read them. You guys can go and study these, and you know, there's certain things that we were told to do. So there are many things we are told to do. A is following in salvation. So there's times where God links salvation to repentance. And that's in Luke 13:3, Acts 3:19, Acts 17:30. So Luke 3, I mean 13:3, Acts 3:19, Acts 17:30. Times he said, unless you what? Repent, you too likewise will what? Perish. Right? That's what the Bible says. It says that unless we repent, we're going to perish. So we don't repent about certain things that we've done, certain things that we've allowed in the church to take place, then the Bible says that we too are going to perish. Believe. Mark 16, 16. John 3, 16 and 36. Acts 16, 31. And the Bible says what? It says, if a man believes and is baptized, he shall be saved. Right? So there he linked believe to being saved. Confess. Acts 19, 18 talks about confessing. And Romans 10 talks about confessing. Linking those both to salvation. Being baptized, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21, they're all linked. Remain faithful. Matthew 25 talks about that. Those who endure to the end shall be what? Saved. So we could all start out on the right path, but if we don't continue on that path, guess what's going to happen? Yes, we can lose our salvation. Yes, we can walk away from God. No one took it from us. The enemy didn't come in and snatch us out of God's hands. We jumped out of God's hands. We pretty much told God, you know, I did it your way for a while, and now I'm going to go back and do it my way. And you just jumped right out of his hand. Next one is following him in love. Love for God. He said to love God with all you are. It's Matthew 22, 37. Love for others. It's Matthew 22, 39. Love for your wife. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Right? It's Ephesians 5, 25. And the other one is also the wife's loving their husbands. And I say that because it says to what? Obey your husbands. Submit to them as unto the Lord. How do we submit to God? We say, God, not my way, but your way, and you know, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to apply what you told me to do to my life. Many people know husbands don't do it perfectly, God does it perfectly. Husbands will mess up, they'll let you down. It might lead you in the wrong direction for a minute, and then they get back and, you know, I missed it, I'm sorry, let's go in this direction. So walk. Sometimes there's rocks on the walkway and you got to go around them. Sometimes you don't see the crack sticking up on the sidewalk and you trip over it. But what? You get back up and you keep going. Same thing with God. Following in forgiveness. Said if we fail to forgive others, he won't forgive us. How many people know the Bible literally says that? It says if you don't forgive others their trespasses, your Father in heaven won't forgive you your trespasses. I take that to heart. That's a scary, scary thing. He didn't say if you forgive Christians or brothers or sisters. He said forgive others. He's talking about everyone in the world. If you don't forgive them their trespasses, your Father in heaven won't forgive you of your trespasses. Matthew 16, 14 and 15. The last one, following and speaking against evil. You know the Bible actually says that you're to speak against evil? Not just separate yourself, but it says you're to speak against it. This one I'm going to read because it's good. It's in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 22. Ephesians 5, 22. Pretty much ending it right after this. There we go. Ephesians 5:22. One more page. I got the right one? No, Ephesians 5:11. Sorry, I was reading about the wives and husbands. Ephesians 5:11. There we go. Well, that doesn't look right. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Indeed, even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everyone that becomes visible is light. Everything that becomes visible is light. So there, it is literally telling you that we are to expose them. He said, don't have nothing to do with them, but to expose them. How many people know the Bible says you're the light of the world, right? If you don't expose it, there's no promise in the Bible that God's going to expose it. God said he's holding back his judgment. He's holding back his wrath. It's being held back right now. Until what? Until Jesus comes back. And it says he's going to pour out his wrath and pour out his judgment on the earth. So it's on us to expose it. That's what the Bible says. There's no promise that God's going to expose the evil things that are happening right now. God will show you. And now what do you do about it? He calls us to expose it. He calls us to speak against it. He calls us to stand against it. That's more emphasis I wanted to put on that, so I guess it needed to be said. But there's a lot we are commanded to follow. These are just a few that I see are very important. I'm going to close with this in Matthew 7:24 and 27. Talks about a wise builder and a foolish builder. Talks about a guy that built his house on a rock and a guy that built his house on the sand. Talks about the one that built his house on the rock. The storm came, the winds blew, the waters came, and what happened? His house stood, right? And it talks about a guy that built his house on the sand. The same storm came, the same waters came, the same wind came. His house was washed away. And the Bible says, the guy that built his house on the rock was what? Guy that heard the word and did it. He heard the word, put it into practice. He heard the word and stood upon it. Then the guy that built his house on the sand was one that heard the word and didn't do it. How many people know that's simple as can be? One guy heard the word and did it. One guy didn't do it. He heard the same word but didn't do it. Had the same blueprint, but wanted to cut corners. How many people know when you lay a foundation, you can't cut corners? Right? Foundation for a building allows you to see how high you can go, how wide you can go, how big the building can be. That's what the foundation allows you to do. Without the proper foundation, when the storms came, when the trials came, you know, that's what it really is. It's trials, persecution, things happen. We go through a test in our life. And if we're not built on the rock, if we're not the wise builder which heard the word of God and did it, then guess what? We're going to crumble. That's what happened to me. That's what caused me to go back and study the Bible, go back and study the early church, go back and really see those things and apply certain things to my life and go back to certain people and apologize for how I treated them, even as I was a pastor. Thought I knew everything. The one thing I didn't know was I was a foolish builder. And when the storm came, guess what? My building crumbled. But now you can ask my wife, storms come now, and guess what? I don't crumble. I stand on God's word. I say, God, this is what your word says. I'm going to stand on it. It says you're going to take care of it, so I'm going to walk as if you're going to take care of it. He said, be as little children. The meaning of that is literally that children look at their parents and they know everything can be taken care of. They have no worry, no fear. They rely on their parents 100%. That's how God wants us to be. He wants us to rely on our parents 100%. He didn't say be like a teenager. Teenagers question what the parents say. But he said be like a little child. When they're sweet and innocent before the teenage years hit. That's how God wants us to walk. So a wise builder is one that hears the word and does the word. A disciple is one that hears the word and does the word. A follower of Christ is one that hears the word and does the word. Now the question I want to ask you is, are you a wise builder? A disciple? A follower? Are you one that obeys? Are you one that applies? Are you one that's practicing God's commands? The things that Jesus set an example out for us to do? Are you praying for your enemies, blessing those that curse you? Are you washing each other's feet? Are you walking in love? Not expecting anything back? Do you bless people and you don't require anything back from them? Do you pray for them, for their well-being, not God, hope you strike them with lightning? But it's God, just bless them, God. They don't know who they are. They don't know their created value, that you died for them. Allow them to come to see that value. Allow them to come to see that you died for them. You loved them so much that you died for them. And I was driving in the car one day and talking to my wife, and just something, I wasn't even thinking about it, just something that came out. It was a tough situation and something that happened in the past. And, you know, my wife, she was getting upset about it. I get upset too. We all get upset. She was getting upset about a certain situation, and just out of nowhere, I was prompted just to say one thing, and you know, it really stuck with me since I said it. I said, Christ didn't die for me any more than he died for that person. That's how we really have to view it. That for the homosexual person, for the liar, the thief, the murderer, the raper, God didn't die for me any more than he did for them. God can turn their life around just like he turned my life around. And all they need is me to pray for them, me to bless them. Me praying for them and blessing them and walking in love will cause them to look at God instead of looking at me. Where instead of me responding out of hate and anger, causing them to say, well, Christians are just angry, they're just bitter. They just talk about you, they just judge you, they just gossip about you. You know, that's what the world says about the church. They're all about money, they all talk about you, they all do this, they all do that. It's time we change that view of the church and start being the church. Start being a disciple. You know, I'm famous for this because, you know, I traveled as an evangelist. How many people in here know what an evangelist is? I'm closing with this very statement, I promise. I came from a Pentecostal background, so they say they're closing like 10 times. But I'm really closing this time. I came from an evangelist background, which evangelist gets people to apply the word of God to their lives. It's really what evangelist does. Gets you to see where you're at, see where you need to go. Some people are already headed in that direction, but not everyone that's sitting here is always headed in that direction. That's what evangelist does. It gets people to see where they're at, the direction they need to go, and then they give them an opportunity to apply that to their lives. So, if you haven't been following God in everything, if you haven't been following God in every single thing, every aspect of your life, and there's certain things you know, myself included, I examine myself every day. There's many times where I say, God, I don't know why I'm acting like this. I don't need to be acting like this. God, this isn't what I want to do. And just speaking about it just makes me want to cry because I hurt for people that don't understand it. But if you want to apply God's word to your life, you're saying, not my will, but your will, God. I want to be a follower of you from this day forward. I'm going to love people as you called me to love them. I'm going to apply your word. I'm going to bless them and stand upon your word. And I wanted to give you just a chance just to come down here and pray before God. Pour your heart out before Him on the altar. Tell Him, God, I need You in my life. Not my will, but Your will. And I'm not going to lead you into some prayer. I'm not going to do that. I did that in the past, and you know, I felt that I misled a lot of people thinking that they're going to heaven just because they said a prayer before God. But it's about us getting serious with God. So if you guys just want to come up here, you know, it's just humbling yourself saying, God, I'm following You, but it's not 100%. That's all it is. I'm going to end with that. If you guys want to come up here, if you guys have any questions, anything, I'll answer them. I'll pray with you. And I'll just be blessed. And I'm going to just take a few minutes as Brother comes up here and closes with a song. And I'm just going to take a few minutes and pour my heart out before God. And ask God to search me. To see if there's anything that I can do. Anything that I can do to change in my life. To follow Him better. If we call ourselves disciples. Call ourselves followers. Say we love God. But there's one scripture. And I saved this. I was going to start with it. But God had me not start with it. I'm just going to read this one thing and then we are done. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Now, why do we call God Lord at times, but we don't apply His word at times? Something we really have to work on. Something I have to work on. And as we work on it, guess what? It draws people to God. It draws your children to want to follow God. It draws your wife to want to follow God. It draws your husband to want to follow God. It draws your neighbors to want to follow God. Your coworkers, where they'll say, "Man, I thought you were crazy at first, but I just see you and total peace, total joy. I see certain tough situations happen on the job and you just turn to God and you don't let it get to you. And, you know, I want that in my life." That's what it does. Because the Bible says, do your good works, do your good deeds before men so that what? So that in return, they won't turn around and glorify you, but it says they'll turn around and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to share my heart. And sorry that I cried before you. But I'm going to pray real quick as He comes up here. Father, we just thank You for being an awesome God. Thank You for being an awesome Father. Thank You for just showing us and how we should walk in life. Thank You, Jesus, for setting a perfect example for us and allowing us to see what love looks like. Allowing us to see what dying to self looks like. To see what just pouring our own lives out for the sake of others looks like. Allow us to apply it. Allow us to have the strength to apply it. Thank You that You sent the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a help, as a guide, as a teacher. We thank You for that He can teach us and help us to walk in everything You commanded us, God, because that's what You commanded us to do. Thank You that we'll be built upon the rock as we're not just hearers but doers of Your word. We thank You for that, God, in Jesus' name, amen.